headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
if you answered yes to any of these questions, then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Malvo is set to learn if statements he made to police without a lawyer will be admissible as evidence. That'll be the topic of a hearing today in Fairfax County, Virginia. Malvo is set to stand trial for killing an FBI analyst outside a Virginia Home Depot store in October. A brief is being filed today in federal court in San Francisco asking a judge to certify what could be one of the largest gender discrimination class action lawsuits ever filed against a company. The suit claims Walmart routinely discriminates against women in promotions and pay. A hearing on the actual class action status of that case is scheduled for July.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Attorney General John Ashcroft is now drawing a link between international drug trafficking and terrorism. That's been the hot topic today at an international governmental and business conference in Washington, D.C.
The threat these groups pose to regional stability and security increases as criminal empires join forces with terrorist organizations.
Ashcroft did note promising reforms lately in Colombia, which is considered, of course, a hotbed of narco-terrorism. He suggests the best way to defeat it is through the rule of law and efforts that lead to, quote, judicial reforms, open markets, free trade, and respect for human dignity. And finally, sonar reportedly helped investigators locate the submerged body of Lacey Peterson about a month before it actually washed ashore in San Francisco Bay near Richmond, California. The Oakland Tribune, though, says police were unable to actually retrieve it from a shipping canal and therefore kept quiet to make sure Lacey's husband, Scott, didn't flee. Scott Peterson has been charged in the murders of his wife and their unborn son. I'm Corey Morris, and you're listening to IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, welcome.
welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to Panama, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Today we're going to, in the first hour, ask the question, is America's quality of life served or harmed by the new religion of consumerism? Now, a lot of people don't think of consumerism as a religion, but I would suggest that it is. It has its own belief system, it has its own structure, and it offers its own unique form of what you could call a form of salvation. It's a salvationist religion. The idea that people can become happy by getting stuff. And what is the outcome of this? What is the consequence of this? How did this come about? Where do we go with this? And how is it affecting not just our core values here in the United States, but our quality of life? How does it affect our governance? How does it affect our day-to-day lives? How does it affect our corporate structures? I am suggesting that this just rips right across the whole span of life in America. To start out, looking at this question of, is America's quality of life served or harmed by the new religion of consumerism? The religion of consumerism is built on a truth and a lie. The truth is, if you are outside at night, on a cold night, naked, all alone, and hungry, you are unhappy, right? We can all agree on that. And if somebody then brings you inside and says, here's some clothing to wear, and there's a bed you can sleep in, and a nice warm fire you can sit next to, and here's a big bowl of stew and a good glass of lemonade or something, coffee, whatever you... And just that small amount of stuff, that change in stuff, will move you from being unhappy, outdoors, cold, alone, naked, hungry, to being relatively happy, comparatively speaking. Our emotional state has been changed. So the truth is that at some level that has to do with our survival needs, what Abraham Maslow, when he founded the School of Humanistic Psychology back in the 1970s, called the Hierarchy of Human Needs. Actually, I think it was 1954 he wrote Personality and Motivation, in which he outlined this. At the level of the basic human needs, safety, security, a place to live, food, at that level, a certain amount of stuff actually will change our level of happiness. So that's the truth. The lie that then follows, which is the foundational core of this religion of consumerism, the lie is, okay, if that much stuff will make you that happy, that much more happy, then twice as much stuff will make you twice as happy. 10 times as much stuff will make you 10 times as happy. 100 times as much stuff will make you 100 times as happy. 1,000 times as much stuff will make you 1,000 times as happy. And Bill Gates lives in a state of perpetual bliss. Well, unfortunately, it ain't true. It's just simply not the case. I have known a number of very wealthy, very miserable people in my life. There have been times in my life when I've made a fair amount of money, and there have been times in my life when I was living below what would be called the poverty level right now. I can't, looking back on all the years of my life, I can't really say that there was a big difference in happiness that had anything to do with my income or the number of toys that I had. The differences in my level of happiness had to do with the quality of the relationships that I had, the quality of interactions that I had with my family, the satisfaction that I got from the work that I was doing, the sense of community that I had with people that I lived around or that I worked with, and in my experience of religion. Those were the areas where I find happiness. And I think that that's consistent and true for everybody. I don't think that anybody on their deathbed says, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I don't think anybody on their deathbed says, I would have been so much happier if I just had a penthouse apartment on Park Avenue. I think that
when we look back over our lives, and we don't have to be at the end of our lives to do it, that we realize, with just a small amount of thought, that really the things that matter are our connections to community, family, our passion for our work, and our connection to something larger than ourselves, what you could call religion, or your sense of connection to all creation, to nature. I'm looking out a window right now at part of a forest in Vermont, and I feel connected to that even. And it's a sense of, wow, there's life out there. It's like the sense of aliveness. It's just extraordinary. So the flip side of this is this religion of consumerism. We have in the New York Times Sunday Magazine, there was an article called, "Come On, Get Happy, Accessing the Cosmos in the Cosmetic" by Joyce Chang. And a couple of little quotes that just, "If the pivotal third date doesn't lead to a fourth, you may need something stronger, something that will make you happy." And then they proceed to suggest cosmetics. And then a little later on, they talk about Estee Lauder's new Pure Color Lip Vinyl and Pure Color Eyeshadows. And they say, "Encapsulated in clear space-age tubes, they feel oddly comforting in your hand." And then talking about Chanel's new perfume, they say, "It also ups the odds of attracting a Eurotrash jet-set boyfriend," as if that's going to be the thing that's going to make you happy. You know, what is the stuff that makes us happy? I would suggest to you that in older cultures, in the kind of cultures, indigenous, aboriginal, tribal communities, the way that all of our ancestors lived for the majority of human history, and there are still people living like that today, that they have figured out through thousands of years of trial and error something that we've missed, which is that the purpose, and by the way, I would suggest that this also is something that the founders of this country knew, which is the purpose of community is not to encourage people to make stuff and then consume stuff. That the purpose of community is to provide security to its members. And what we as the members of a community do is we consume security and safety from our culture, our society, and we support others in our culture and society by making sure that there is security and safety for them. That it's like this cycle that is continuously going. I was visiting a Native American friend of mine on a reservation out west. I don't want to name him here on the air, but and this is a guy who trades Native American healing ceremonies in his community. He doesn't even trade them. I mean, it's what he does. He's a healer and what we might call a medicine man. And he lives in a trailer. He's got an old car that he knows how to repair and is constantly in need of it. And I would be surprised if more than $5,000 a year passes through his hands. He's not what you and I would call wealthy. And I remember one time sitting and talking to him, and he said, "Boy, you white people think you're rich, but you are poor, poor beyond imagining." Because he lives in a community where if he has a need, his community meets it. And if anybody, you know, if in that community, if one person has a sick child, everybody has a sick child. If one person is hungry, everybody is hungry. That's how the community responds. If one person is sick, everybody is sick. If one person needs a home, everybody needs a home. And they all work together to create it. And I've sat with people in communities like this in Uganda, the Keramoja and the Ik people of Uganda. I've sat with people in communities like this in South America, in Peru, and in Colombia. I've sat with people in communities like this in the northern parts of Queensland and Australia, and in Western Australia. There is this, and in modern intentional communities in Vermont, in Germany, where there is just this absolute sense of community, and people have said, "We're not about consumerism. The religion of consumerism is not what we're all about. It's not what we're doing." Thomas Jefferson You know, like I said, the founders figured this out. Thomas Jefferson, our quote for the day here, said, "The care of human life and happiness, and not their destruction, is the first and only object of good government." The care of human life and not their destruction. So we're going to have a guest on the line in a minute here when he comes on, and we're going to talk about this with him for a little bit. But what are the consequences of this religion of consumerism? What are the consequences of this belief that toys will make us happy, that stuff will do it? I would suggest that the consequences echo across all different kinds of levels. We have, for example, the CEO pay scandals that are going on right now. This is the little piggies, as it were.
Have you seen the good piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the good piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around with.
Yes, as the Beatles identified. So I'm informed that Gary's on the line. Gary Crowley is our guest today on this segment, and Gary's a remarkable guy. And Gary, come on the line here.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome to the Tom Hartman program. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, pleased to have you with us, Gary. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your book and about the self-improvement removement movement.
Well, as you already said, my book, titled Self-Improvement Removement, is about all the crazy things we do to improve ourselves when we're already okay. And I used to live in the self-improvement aisle of the bookstores, and I've done the vast majority of things that I poke fun at in my book. And basically, I just think a lot of people have the intention, I think, of improving their lives, but sometimes self-improvement isn't the way to go about doing that, I think.
Yeah, I get it that your sense of it is that this can almost become an obsession, an addiction for people. We've got about 30 seconds here before we have to go to a break, but we're speaking here with Gary Crowley, and then we'll come back after the break. Gary is the author of the Self-Improvement Removement book, an interesting one. And we'll be back. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back right after this break.
Vitamin bar. Just sucking on my plain white yogurt from my hand-thrown pottery jar. And sipping a little hand-pressed cider with a carrot stick for dessert. And wiping my face in a natural way on the sleeve of my peasant shirt. Yes, I do. But when that clock strikes midnight and I'm all by myself, I work that combination on my secret hideaway shelf. And I pull out some Fritos corn chips, Dr. Pepper, and an old moon pie. I sit back in glorious expectation of a genuine junk food high. I'm open to...
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talks, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting coast to coast and from the Arctic to the equator on the Sirius satellite from the depths of outer space on terrestrial stations all around the United States and streaming live on the Internet from www.ieamericaradio.com. We have a chat room open at tomhartman.com. Click to the radio show and also a bulletin board with where you can post messages. And we'll be reading a few from listeners a little later on in the show. But right now we have Gary Crowley on. Gary, C-R-O-W-L-E-Y, which is also his website, www.garycrowley.com. Confessions of a Self-Improvement Junkie. Gary, tell me why you ate a pound of raw beef every day for 6 months.
Well, of course, because I read a book that said that was the way to be optimally healthy. And I had been on just a regular raw food diet, but I was, you know, eating that way made me look gaunt. I felt like I needed a house I could haunt. I was weak. I was tired with looks I did dread. I said, this is true health, looking like the undead. So I went out and I got another book that said, hey, you got to throw in some raw meat into this equation. And so I ate like a caveman for 6 months. And then after about 6 months of raw food devotion, I happened upon an interesting notion. Bear skin for clothes, a rock for a seat. Cavemen were morons. They couldn't cook meat. I was just strictly a results-oriented self-improvement guy, and I was willing I'm an idealistic realist, so I'd do all these things to see what really worked, and now all these diets later, I'm eating kind of the way I grew up, some vegetables, some meat, some potatoes, and, eating like a normal human being again.
You're back to the radical middle.
Exactly.
How did you get started on this? I should preface this by saying that I used to teach advertising and marketing to ad agencies, and I've owned two advertising agencies, one in Atlanta and one in Michigan, or started them and owned them and then sold them. And one of the core tenets of advertising and marketing unfortunately, I mean, this is kind of handed down from the origins. The public relations really originated before World War I, to help Wilson sell the war, and then it mm-hmm. turned into an industry. But one of the core notions is make people feel like they are less than they are, like
Absolutely.
They have a need, and then offer to satisfy the need. But you have to create the need in the first place. You have to basically disempower people.
Yeah, create
I'm wondering,
the problem.
Yeah, and you know, it's, you're not really a woman unless you have this cosmetic or this particular mm-hmm. type of figure. You're really not a man unless you have this kind of body or these kind of clothes or this particular type of cologne or, you know, I mean, fill in the blank, right? Our mm-hmm. product, buy our product. And I'm wondering how, in your lifetime, you first confronted the kind of sense of need that comes out of people buying into those consumeristic ads and how you apparently broke free of it.
Well, I think, you know, on the positive side, a lot of this happens, especially in our country, because we are a very idealistic culture. We always think that, you know, things can be better. And that has, you know, its upside in all the wonderful things we accomplish, but its downside is that people can play on that. And even though I've always been very healthy, I was blessed with, you know, a good set of genes, you know, they're always tugging at you. And I thought, oh, well, if I can have more energy, if I could, you know, feel more vibrant, then that'd be good. Or if I could, you know, be more mentally, emotionally well by trying to do the, you know, 7 habits of very annoying people or, you know, whatever you want to do. Then, you know, they play on that, and when it came down to it, I think because I kind of approach things, I just want results.
Yeah,
you know? So
absolutely.
I would do it and go, okay, does this work? And
I understand. Gary, let me interrupt you there. We've got to go to a break and a short little bit of news, but we'll come back to Gary Crowley, GaryCrowley.com. I want to share with folks some of your Learn How to Get Rich Quick guidelines from your website. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Brothers, do a Twix.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The Association of Professional Flight Attendants plans to hold a third vote on $340 million worth of wage and benefit concessions to American Airlines. The first vote held last week saw the flight attendants reject the plan. A second vote a day later approved the give-back package. But when American unveiled the bonus and pension protection plan for its executives after its unions had agreed to cuts, APFA President John Ward shed the air of diplomacy. In a message to the flight attendants, Ward says another vote is contentious, but Americans' duplicity in asking for sacrifices from its workers on one hand while fattening management on the other is beyond the bounds of decency.
Management would love nothing more than to bust this union. Let's not permit ourselves to do it for them.
Over the weekend, American CEO Don Carty canceled the planned executive bonuses and sent a letter of apology to the unions. No word on when this third vote will be scheduled. The airline could file for bankruptcy at any time, regardless of what the flight attendants do.
The McDonald's Corporation takes over as lead concessionaire at a $200 million terminal opening this week at the Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Connecticut. And the fast food giant is eager to shake loose of the union representing workers at the old terminal. A state law passed last year obliges Mickey D's managers to hire employees of the previous concessionaire for at least 90 days, but a loophole would allow McDonald's to bypass the rule. A bill before the state Senate would shore up the loophole and give senior workers first crack at jobs in the new food court, but that's apparently too much for McDonald's to swallow. The company has hinted it may cancel its contract with the airport if the law is passed. Meanwhile, about 100 workers with as much as 30 years on the job could well be out of work, and if they are rehired, it'll be to a non-union position with significantly lower wages. wages and benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network and on Sirius Satellite Channel 145, Sirius Left, and of course streaming live on the internet and on radio stations from west to east in the United States. We have on Gary Crowley from GaryCrowley.com. He's the author of Self-Improvement Removement. And Gary, you've got on your website on GaryCrowley.com this kind of provocative little thing. It says, learn how to get rich quick, and then here are some simple ways to be happier without improving. I really like this. Can you give us a snapshot of how this came about and what's on there?
Basically, I think the main goal of most people after self-improvement is they want to improve their lives. And so I do think sometimes we go about it in the wrong way. And, again, on my website, where you can also buy my book or at Amazon. Mm-hmm. But my website says Learn How to Get Rich Quick. Click here. And it basically says count your blessings. Right. I mean, we're always, everybody's jabbing at you that, you need to lose 10 pounds and you need to make more money and you need to do this and that and the other thing. Well, really, appreciate what you already have in the first place. And then secondly, there's a lot of things. I think we've basically forgotten the things that tend to make us happy. You're basically 10 times more likely to be depressed today than you would have been 50 years ago. And I think it's just because we've forgotten the basics, such as, common sense and science agree that having close relationships in your life is one of the greatest determinants of happiness. So,
Gary, you just said you're 10 times more likely to be depressed today than, 50 years ago, did you say?
Yes.
Where did you come up with that?
It's a study I read basically somewhere in the University of San Diego Library. I could dig it up for you if you'd like.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised by it. And in fact, just in the last 30 years, I know that child suicide rates have doubled in the United States.
Yeah, and we've become much more superficial as a culture, and it has its place. I like to have fun like everyone else. But I think some of the deeper things we're running around forgetting, such as, having close relationships, getting a decent night's sleep. People who get a good night's sleep are, generally 25% happier than those that don't.
That's remarkable. And the lure of the television at night, stay up.
And I know people have, I used to say get a good night's sleep to everyone, and then I talk to parents, and I'm like, okay, how about get a little more sleep?
Right.
Because they're like, well, you don't know what it's like. The third thing is a simple thing. You got to move your body. You got to move your earth suit around. So, because it's good for your body, and you can move it in any way you want. Just find ways you enjoy moving it. You don't have to go to the Gold's Gym. Go dance or walk on the beach or go garden. But when
just
you
walk into town or walk around your community.
Yeah. Fourth, I just say, take a little bit of time, even if it's 10 minutes during the day somewhere just for yourself. You know, I do this in the morning when I have my cup of coffee. I go sit it on my picnic table. And I just kind of, you know, get ready for the day. And most people get up sprinting and never stop all day, which dramatically increases your stress. Fifth, I say, here's a radical concept. Pursue meaning, not money, even when you're pursuing money. You know, so try to find the meaning in the things you're doing. If you're out there working for your kids or for your family or because you really think you're helping folks, then try to focus on that. And sixth, and this is a radical thing to say, but lower your expectations, but not your aspirations. And what I say is, you know, yes, we all have things we want to accomplish, but getting stressed out and uptight about the day-to-day things, that the little bumps in the road along the way, is what tends to bring you down. Because, again, people generally need meaning. I don't know if you've ever read any of Viktor Frankl's books.
I have, Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah, and as human beings, we quest for meaning. But
the quest for meaning.
It's you know, but the day-to-day expectations we have tend to get us down a little bit.
Yeah. Remarkable. Gary Crowley, Gary Crowley, CROWLEY.com. Thank you very much for being on our program today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope to talk with you again. That was Gary Crowley. GaryCrowley.com is his website. He's got a test you can take, and he's got his advice there. It's a nice summary of how to break the religion of consumerism, how to break free of it or break loose from it. If you'd like to talk about this topic or anything else for that matter, the number here is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. In today's, I think this is the New York Times, look back at a star-studded ad career. This is a book review by George Lois, who's a famous art director. And he says he's always looking for the big idea. He says, quote, "The big idea as a campaign concept is one that will change the culture. It has the power to become a new language." He goes on to say, "Ads should punch you in the head. They should make one and one into three." And this is the extraordinary power of advertising. And what has this brought us? It has brought us a culture that, in many ways, I mean, there's so many wonderful and extraordinary things about American culture and what you would call civilization. I mean, the idea of having a better lifespan. We have a longer lifespan now than we've ever had in civilized society. We have better health. We have safety. I mean, America is safer than it has ever been, despite the terror alerts. And yet, people go through this anxiety. This, oh, I've got to get more. I've got to, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And what does that do? It fuels all these social dysfunctions. There's just this incredible range of social dysfunctions that this sort of stuff fuels. For example, we've talked about this a couple of times, the idea of CEO pay. Where does this come from? Why are people driven to do this? I mean, I was reading a psychology textbook earlier in the year. I can't remember which book it was, or I would cite it, where the author was talking about the idea of obsessive compulsive disorder, people who latch onto things and just become obsessed with them, and that people who are constantly striving to get richer and richer and richer, regardless of the cost, regardless of who they have to step on to make it happen, regardless of how many lives get destroyed as a result of it, regardless of how the planet is destroyed, that those people are behaving as if they have an actual psychiatric disorder. And I can tell you from knowing some of these people, they're not happy campers. They don't find meaning in life. And yet, at the same time, we see this thing. Since 1980, average CEO pay has skyrocketed 442%, adjusting for inflation. Typical worker pay has inched up just 1.6%. If the typical worker pay had grown at the CEO pace, a typical worker today, instead of making $30,244, as they did in 1980, would make $164,018. And then they talk, this is an article from, I think it's today's Burlington Free Press, by Holly Sklar, who is the co-author of Raise the Floor, Wages and Policies That Work for All of Us. And she says, she points out that MBNA, the banking company, the CEO of MBNA, Alfred Lerner, made $194.9 million last year. Now, this is not somebody who started the company. This is not somebody who has ownership in the company by virtue of their own efforts, that is, that they started this thing. This is just an employee who's a CEO, $194 million. Two more MBNA executives who weren't CEOs also got megabucks. John Cochran III got $36 million, and Bruce Hammonds got $28.6 million. And Holly Sklar points out, you would think a company paying four people a combined $308 million for the year must have had a great year. But MBNA shareholders know otherwise. Their total return to investors was a negative 18%. It's like, what's happened to our values? Well, I would suggest that they've been sucked up in this religion of consumerism. And we see not only the people who are promoting it, but sometimes they become the victims of it. For example, Disney's CEO, Michael Eisner, he collected $954 million, according to Business Week. That's $95.4 million a year, and more than $1.8 million a week. Now, what can you do with all that money? And how can... Oh, boy. This, my friends, this is the sad obsession of our culture. This is the same thing as bulimia, what is the sickness where people, bulimia is throwing up the other, anorexia. It's this obsessive grasping at something. Say, if I just get this. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. 1-800-TALK, yes. 1-800-825-5937. Other things that this sort of religion of consumerism stirs in our culture is the idea that those folks who are in a position to earn or make or profit, let's say, because I would say that anybody who's earning $1.8 million a week and they didn't start the company, they're just an employee, is not really earning that. It's something more than that. But anyhow, that folks who are in a position to do so can pollute the world, can ruin things, and if they make a profit, that's cool. That's just fine. This is the fallout. This is the logical consequence of the belief, the broken, dysfunctional belief that if we just get richer, we'll get happier. And so, for example, in today's Wall Street Journal, we have this story. The Bush administration has imposed a gag order on the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency from publicly discussing perchlorate pollution, even as two new studies reveal high levels of the rocket fuel component may be contaminating the nation's lettuce supply. Say what? Rocket fuel in lettuce? And why is the Bush administration putting a gag order on the EPA, not allowing them? This is our government. They're supposed to be working for us. We own our government in a constitutional democratic republic. We own our government. Why are they not letting us know about this? And this Wall Street Journal article today just goes on with this absolutely stunning stuff about how lettuce concentrates this stuff. And this rocket fuel has contaminated most of the water supplies out west, and the lettuce is concentrating it. And it's toxic stuff. Anyway, we have Melissa on the line from Alabama. Melissa, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Melissa? Maybe she's not there. I don't hear Melissa, John. If you can get her on. Or maybe. Yeah, Melissa, welcome.
Hey, I just wanted to call up and gripe. I'm one of the many Americans who's struggling to meet their basic needs. And yesterday I got fired from a job simply because a man didn't want to pay somebody to work. Me and my buddies were painting a house, and it boils down to people think you're supposed to work for nothing anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can talk about the issue of consumerism without talking about the issue of elitism, because people do have this idea that the working people are here to buy toys for the rich.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's interesting. We had coffee yesterday morning with a woman here in Vermont who is an organizer for the union over at Fletcher Allen Hospital. And they had a candlelight vigil. 200 people showed up, including a state representative, in front of the one of the board of directors' homes. And the local newspaper, the Gannett paper, the Burlington Free Press, overtly refused to cover it. They said that they didn't want to give the union, well, they didn't say this, but the implicit message was that they didn't want to give the union publicity. And it was just so bizarre. And when we were talking, she mentioned the, you know, the human resources department at the hospital. And it occurred to me that back when I was in business, we viewed people who worked, you know, the companies that I owned, the people who worked for us, or when I worked for other people, we were viewed as employees or as employees. I mean, an employee implies that there's a human being having a relationship with an organization. And then it got changed to human resources. Now they got these human resource departments. And that implies that human beings are just another resource. Like, we're a silver mining company. There's the silver resource, the ore resource, the buildings resource, and the human resource. And this human resource thing kind of crept into our language in the 1980s and has, in my opinion, devastated the whole idea of a traditional relationship between labor and management, between employees and an organization, and instead turned humans into just another product, like you said, Melissa.
Well, thank you for letting me on.
Oh, I'm pleased you called. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Dave from San Francisco, come on. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. This is a real good topic. Out here in California, we've been working. I work with the Green Party and a number of other different activist organizations. And we've been working on what's called Corporate Three Strikes campaign. For corporations that do damage to the community, they can lose their business license. And this is as old as 1776. And
mm-hmm.
So some of the examples that you were giving, the poisoning of areas, whether it's water, the land, the air, back in 1776, a lot of people don't realize that the 13 colonies were actually 13 land grants to corporations. And,
mostly the East India Company.
Right, yeah. There was all of them, the Georgia Company, they were huge land grants to these buddies of the king. And when they the Revolutionary War happened, this whole idea of being colonized, that you would work and work and work and you would never be able to break even, that you were always going to, everything that was going to be developed was going to, the profits were going to be sent across the ocean back to London, and that you were essentially always going to be at the mercy of whatever got sent back from London, and that was going to be next to nothing. So the idea of making sure that corporations were not going to take the place of
Dave, I'm sorry, I've got to interrupt you. I'm going to hold you on the line, though, for when we come back from the break. We got to go to a break here in about 5 seconds. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before Before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM9PM. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM9PM. Pleasant dreams.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, yeah, the birds with extraordinary words from Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a time. There's a time to earn a living, and there's a time to live. And we're talking to Dave here from San Francisco. We've got John from Springfield on the line. We've only got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Dave, you were talking about the American Revolution as a corporate revolt. I wrote a book about this called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And it talks about the Boston Tea Party as the attempt to, as the first Seattle WTO protest, the first overthrowing of a corporate entity. Did you want to wrap up your comments there, and then we can go on to John?
Well, yeah, we've got out here a Senate bill in the California legislature, 335, SB 335, which is called the Corporate Three Strikes, You're Out initiative, or it's Corporate Three Strikes. It's not an initiative. And it's based on this concept. You know, these corporations are essentially telling us that we have to obey their numbers. No matter what their numbers are, they're always right, we're always wrong. And so the average person has to live by the laws of physics. The sun rises in the day, we've got 24 hours in a day, and we have to live by what is called the real world, yet these corporations can demand that the real world stop. And
I'm absolutely with you, Dave. I'm sorry I'm going to have to interrupt you here. I want to get John on from Springfield. Thanks very much for calling, Dave. I appreciate your call, and I hope we'll talk to you again. John from Springfield, we've got about 30, 40 seconds left if you want to toss in something quick here.
Why don't I call you back, big guy?
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, in that case, we could have listened to the last of Dave there. Yeah, this is a very real problem. And then we have, you know, well, okay, let's cut back on the core stuff, the basic human needs. In today's New York Times, the lead story, cut back some peril health coverage for the state's poor. Why? So that we can afford tax cuts for the most rich. Dave's talking about the three strikes and you're out. Robert Hinckley has also come up with a corporate code that he's promoting. Anyhow, this is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Network.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A British official helping in the reorganization of Iraq's government now is urging Iraqis not to put the cart before the horse. Foreign Office Minister Mike O'Brien says they should first vote on a new constitution before electing their own government to run a post-war Iraq.
We want to leave here a broad-based government representing all the Iraqi people. Iraq must be run by and for the Iraqis and no one else.
During meetings in Baghdad, O'Brien expressed the hope a constitutional assembly could be established fairly quickly to set the stage for approval of a, quote, properly elected democratic government. O'Brien also said the transitional authority now being run by retired U.S. General Jay Gardner should have only a limited existence. China is saying today North Korea has actually offered to stop missile exports and suspend its ballistic missile tests, but there is a catch. North Korea wants formal diplomatic relations with the United States as well as, quote, credible security security assurances from the U.S. Many believe that's an effort to get the U.S. to agree it will not attack North Korea. According to Chinese diplomats, North Korea is threatening extraordinary moves if the U.S. is up to what it described as the usual tricks. A Republican senator vehemently opposed to President Bush's proposed tax cuts says he won't budge from his stance. During an interview yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, Ohio Republican George Voinovich said he can't support a stimulus package totaling more than $350 billion. President Bush is set to go to Ohio next week to urge Congress to vote for those tax cuts. Voinovich says the visit is pointless.
It's been interpreted, his visit here, as one of coming to Ohio to try and pressure me to support $550 when he knows that I'm locked in at $350.
Voinovich says the U.S. government will have to borrow more than $500 billion over the next 2 years to cover the tax cuts, and he said that will push the national deficit past $9 trillion by 2009. He called the president's proposed plan fiscally irresponsible, noting Congress still isn't sure about the final tab for the war in Iraq. Voinovich said the economy needs a shot in the arm, but not at the expense of the national deficit.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache. Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Thousands of Pennsylvania doctors are skipping work and postponing elective surgeries this week to protest the soaring cost of malpractice insurance. They claim the price is driving young doctors away from their state, and they're lobbying state lawmakers to place a $250,000 cap on pain and suffering damages in malpractice lawsuits. Market regulators are set to announce a $1.5 billion legal settlement with Wall Street brokerage houses today. The move follows an investigation into allegations some stock analysts use biased research to bring investment banking businesses to their companies. Sources say at least two of the brokerages will be charged with fraud.
Free. Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
An international competition is being launched now for a World Trade Center memorial. Lower Manhattan Development Corporation will release guidelines for the design contest later today. A story from correspondent Lisa Romanello.
You don't have to be an architect. Anyone can submit a design for the World Trade Center memorial, which will use a 4.7-acre site that includes the Twin Towers footprint. Anyone 18 and older worldwide can submit ideas on the official website, www.wtcsitememorial.org. Designs will be open to public review over the summer, then judged by a 13-member panel that includes a victim's family member and downtown residents. The deadline for designs is May 29th. Lisa Romanello, New York.
Three top internet service providers are banding together to reduce junk email. New York Times says America Online, Microsoft, and Yahoo want technical changes made in the way email is distributed to make it easier to trace. The companies also want to develop a list of email marketers who agree to adhere to responsible practices. The FTC is holding a forum on unwanted email later this week. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, Anti-Lock Braking Systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With Anti-Lock Brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations and on the Sirius satellite, broadcasting from the depths of outer space, from the Arctic Circle to the equator, all across the Northern Hemisphere. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We've got a bulletin board up on www.tomhartman.com. It's correctly spelled T-H-O-M and Hartman with two N's, but if you misspell it, it should work anyway. And the bulletin board, is a place where you can post questions, make comments, let us know what you think of the show. It's a little easier, a little more informal than just sending me emails that I can read, and I can read stuff off the bulletin board just as easily, and also you can engage in conversation with other members of the, or other listeners to the program. We also have a chat room. Both of these are, if you go to tomhartman.com and just click on the link to the radio show, you'll see then on the navigation bars on the left the chat room and the bulletin board, or the forum, the message forum. And let's see, Chris in Huron, in the Huron River watershed posted a question. Have you ever thought of interviewing Thomas Berry on the show? He's one of the great minds of our time. It would be a great idea. We'll see if we can track him down. Klaus from Eugene, Oregon, said points out that we're on from 9 in the morning till 11 there in Eugene, Oregon, and he says, we can hear you great. And he thought the show last week that we did, where we had on David Cobb, the head of the Greens, or the general counsel to the Green Party USA, and Steve Grossman, who was the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee from 97 to 99, was a great show. Thank you for the comment. And then Rainbow from Broward County, Florida, posted a message. He said, I'm all for a large tax cut, say $1 trillion. He said, how about a cut in all payroll taxes? Now, you'll notice nobody in the political scene, or at least nobody in the administration, is talking about cutting payroll taxes. They talk about cutting income taxes. Payroll taxes are the taxes that working people pay on the first, as I recall, it's $81,400. It might be $84,100. Sometimes it mixes numbers up like that, but it's just a little over $80,000. The first $80,000 of your income, you pay a payroll tax on. After that, you don't pay payroll tax. So if somebody who makes $1 million, they pay a payroll tax on the first $80,000 more or less, and then after that, all they pay is income tax. Whereas people who make under $81,000 are paying both a payroll tax and an income tax. And so, of course, cutting the income tax is going to disproportionately help those folks who make more than $80,000. I mean, just right off the bat. And Rainbow from Broward County, Florida, posted this message to our bulletin board at tomhartman.com, says, what will that get us if we cut all the payroll taxes, but we kept in place the income taxes? All of a sudden, a working man has $25, $50, $100, $150 per week extra in a paycheck. What will they do with that money? Will they stick it in a trust fund in an overseas account, lay off their yard man, pool man, or mechanic? No, I don't think so, he says, or she, I don't know. Better homes, this is what they'll spend it on. Better homes, better education for kids, computers, washers and dryers, new cars, clothes, more entertainment, carpets, home improvement, self-improvement, books, more eating out, better food, music, more tithing, more charity contributions. And the result will be so many job openings, we will have to look overseas to fill them, all of whom will be paying sales tax, income taxes, etc., giving back to us Yeah, giving back to us a surplus instead of the Bush deficits. And this is Ron in Broward County, Florida. Yeah, Ron, he signed it. So anyhow, a message on our message board there at TomHartman.com. So this hour, the question that we want to look at, ask about, and try and get a sense of is, what are the benefits and dangers of travel in an age of terrorism, SARS, and threatened ecosystems and cultures? First of all, we've got this kind of strange situation where Americans are more terrified, generally, than reality suggests they should be. We've got, in fact, there was a really good article about this in the Wall Street Journal. As I recall, it was either last Thursday or Friday. Let's see, I've got a clip here, but it doesn't have the date on it. Anyhow, it was last Thursday or Friday. And the headline says, "Why do Americans feel that danger lurks everywhere? Fixation on risk, fed by laboratories, law, and the media, haunts the world's safest nation." That the United States is the world's safest nation. And they say, today, thanks to research labs, tort law, and media hype, danger seems to lurk in every corner of life, from children's toys to McDonald's coffee, anthrax to secondhand smoke, West Nile virus to SARS. Faced with a barrage of warnings, including the color-coded caveats of the new Homeland Security Department, it's not surprising that in contemporary America, the safest society in recorded history, many people feel as though they have never been more at risk. They go on to point out that our lifespans are 80% longer in today than they were in 1900, that deadly infectious diseases have been tamed, our water and food are relatively pure, drugs and surgery are, you know, more effective than they ever have been, and we have all these safety devices from circuit breakers to smoke detectors to airbags, and yet we feel afraid. Why would this be? Well, they quote Paul Slovic, who is a professor of psychology at the University of Oregon, who points out that we trust people who tell us we're in danger more than people who tell us we're not in danger. And Paul says it's much easier to scare than to unscare. And then the Wall Street Journal says, since it began its color alerts in March of 2002, the Homeland Security Department has never designated the U.S. to be at less than a, quote, significant, end quote, risk for terrorist attacks, level yellow. The two lower levels, green and blue, haven't been used. And even the safest level, green, warns that the risk is low, not zero. In other words, it's a constant reminder to be scared. And then they point out marketers and the media have capitalized on people's desire for risk-free living by appealing to their vulnerability. The Scottsdale, Arizona company, Trivita Way, sells calcium supplements by saying, chances are, you're at risk. And they talk about how fear is an evolutionary survival mechanism, and it's something that just kind of feeds on itself. So what about, you know, fear? Should we be afraid of travel? Or not? We have on the line today, Will Weber, Dr. Will Weber. He's the owner director of Journeys International, which he's run for 25 years. Journeys does 200 eco travel trips in 45 destinations around the world yearly. Will has a PhD in natural resources and is a former Peace Corps volunteer in Nepal. Will, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom.
Very pleased to have you on here. First of all, a lot of people I know are canceling trips right now. I've got a good friend who puts on conferences, and he's noticing that people are just, you know, not booking to show up for the conference later on this year. It's like SARS has scared people. Is it a bad time to fly?
Well, I think it depends on where you're going. Certainly in our business, we're also finding that people are reluctant. Our new bookings are down. People who have booked trips to places like China, though, are, in our experience, are more often postponing than canceling. And I think that's a more rational approach. It's not going to be always this much hysteria about SARS. And in fact, the news today we saw is relatively positive. Several countries have a downturn in new cases.
Right. So you've traveled all over the world. You mentioned Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Oman, the Sudan. I've been to a few of these places. First of all, you do ecotourism. Can you define that term for us, please?
We think of ecotourism as travel which is sensitive to the local cultures and environments that we visit. In our case, we'd like to not only not do harm, but leave a positive impression and possibly some tangible measure of our appreciation for the rewards we get from travel. So we sometimes support a small project, leave donations for clinics or schools, things like that. And in that sense, usually individual travelers are not associated with the policies of their governments. I think in most of the world, people have virtually no ability to influence their governments, and I think they assume American travelers perhaps are in the same situation. So
yeah.
Travelers need not feel they'll be identified with the policies of their government in most places.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed a lot over the years. I've traveled internationally. I used to do international relief work back 20 years ago for an organization in Germany called Kindernuken Hilfswerk Salem. And I was in Uganda in 1980, for example, during the war when they threw out Idi Amin, and we took over a prison, the Numala prison farm, and turned it into a refugee center. And now it's a hospital, actually, here 20 years later. And wherever I travel and around the world, people always seem to judge you first as a human being, and then secondly as a person or as a citizen of a country. You know, I've never had the experience in tourist-to-tourist kind of interactions of people asking me to justify the behavior of my government or saying, oh, you're an American, therefore, that kind of thing. And it sounds like your experience is the same.
It is. And, you know, ironically, I think traveling to Muslim countries, Americans are very surprised to see how welcome they are. I think it's a part of the traditional hospitality that's shown to all visitors, but certainly, we are likely to be treated more courteously as strange Americans in a community than representatives or travelers from any of these countries might be treated in our own communities. There's, I think, a higher degree of civility practiced in many of the least developed countries than we ourselves show foreign visitors here.
I agree, and I think that some of that comes out of the issues that we were talking about in the last hour, which is this kind of drivenness that Americans have by consumerism, whereas in some of these older countries and these older cultures, there's still this sense that, you know, we're all just people here in community and civility. Louise and I were in Egypt for 2 weeks back. It was the November before 9/11, whatever that was, 3 years ago now, I guess that would be. November of 2000, and they had just, the year before that, there had been that machine gun attack on a bunch of tourists in Luxor, and we were down in that area, and they were suffering badly. I mean, a lot of tourists were not showing up, but they were still so pleased to have people there. I mean, it was just this extraordinary sense. What's your favorite country in the world to visit?
Well, I go back to Nepal again and again. I really enjoy the scenery and the people there.
Now, you know, I've never been to Nepal. Give us a 20-second snapshot.
Well, Nepal is in the news a bit these days. It's the 50th anniversary of Sir Edmund Hillary's 1953 climb of Mount Everest, the first time it was climbed. And so there are events going on there. It also happens to be the 25th anniversary of our company, which started with a trek to the Everest Base Camp. So it's the right time of year to be climbing Mount Everest right now. There are, I think, more expeditions than ever before trying to summit in this anniversary year. So that's one thing that's going on. Nepal is a really diverse country, culturally, natural history, and language. And if you're fit enough to be able to walk a bit in the hill country, you can really go back in time and gain a very different perspective on what life's about.
That sounds great. We're speaking with Will Weber, the owner-director of Journeys International for the last 25 years, and here on the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Network. And I think it's time for a break here. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Yoo-hoo. It's us, your joints here.
Listen, the aches, the stiffness. That's our way of saying we need help. There's a coupon for OsteoBiflex in this Sunday's paper. Over time, OsteoBiflex helps joints.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
To the Tom Hartman Radio Program here on the IE America Radio Network and on Sirius Satellite Channel 145 and on radiopower.org, rebroadcast from 5 to 7 on the Internet. We are talking with Will Weber of Journeys International. Our question for the hour broadly is, what are the benefits and dangers of travel in an age of terrorism, SARS, and threatened ecosystems and culture? And Will, first of all, how does somebody find out more about Journeys International? Do you have a website?
We do. Our website is www.journeys-intl.com.
Okay, great. And I'm wondering of your experience with U.S. embassies. I've never had the need to go to an American embassy while I'm traveling overseas, but I've heard stories of people who have and have had wonderful help, you know, from people there, and also of stories from people who've tried to get help from the embassies and have been essentially brushed off. What's going on with the American embassies, and are they really there for the travelers, or are they there to serve something else, for example, corporate interests?
I know they suggest that the welfare of travelers is a primary interest, but my own experience in all the years of travel is they would really rather not have to deal with travelers with problems if they possibly could avoid it. In my experience, you're probably better off with a very knowledgeable local person who knows hospitals and doctors and clinics and dealing with airlines than you are trying to use the embassy for emergency purposes. Certainly in the case of a death or a serious crime, they're likely to be the people of last resort if you can't if you don't have your own connections locally, and that may be helpful to you. But certainly my suspicion has been they're really facilitating the interests of American business, and lately the interests of the State Department with its worldwide anti-terrorism campaign. That's clearly what is preoccupying the embassy these days.
Yeah, so they're mostly useful only if you've lost your passport, for example, and you have to get it reissued.
That's right. They do issue information about the country, things that they may have heard about that you may not, but the complaint of many travelers is that their information is reactive, and when they try to be predictive of what's going on, you end up having your fears raised for no apparent reason. You know, we look back at what bulletins have the State Department issued concerning traveler cautions, advisories, and warnings since September 11th regarding possible future terrorist attacks. To my knowledge, there's not been any bulletin issue that actually predicted an attack which occurred. And for all the countries and all the intervals during which travelers have been warned not to go to certain places, I'm not aware of any American traveler deaths or serious injuries due to terrorism that have occurred during those periods of warning. So one perspective is, well, they're covering their behinds by issuing a policy, and then if something happens, they could say, we told you so. On the other hand, it does increase the fear quotient. There's always warnings out there. It seems that the warnings often apply broadly, not only to travelers, but to American business people, Americans working overseas, and of course the embassy personnel themselves, who may in fact be more likely targets of any kind of terrorist activity.
Yeah, so perhaps they're talking to them. So I found that the most useful advisories just for me when I'm traveling to third world countries have been the CDC listings of what diseases are extant in what countries. But anyhow, Will Weber is with Journeys International. That's journeys-intl.com. Is that right, Will?
That's correct.
On the internet? Great. And thank you very much. He's the owner director of this program and has been doing ecotourism around the world. Appreciate you being on the show, Will, and we'll be back after the news. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's been eight tough weeks on the picket lines for meat packers at a Jefferson, Wisconsin plant who are in the fight of their lives as Tyson Foods tries to roll back decades of union gains. On February 28th, members of United Food and Commercial Workers Local 538 voted by a margin of 409 to strike their employer after a last, best, and final offer threatened to freeze wages, roll back pensions, and health health benefits and slash starting pay for new hires. A month ago, Tyson began busing in temporary replacement workers and has its plant operating at limited capacity. Meanwhile, the strikers have called for a boycott, and many grocery stores in southern Wisconsin have responded by pulling frozen pizzas containing Tyson pepperoni from their shelves, including such items as Tombstone, DiGiorno, and Jack's frozen pizzas.
American Airlines narrowly avoids bankruptcy again after the company's major unions agree to a new concessions package and the CEO they say deceived them resigns. A week and a half ago, as the unions representing Americans' flight attendants, pilots, and ground workers were voting on nearly $2 billion worth of wage and benefit cuts, the company released a report detailing the multi-million dollar bonuses and protected pensions executives had set up for themselves. The unions threatened to re-vote on the concessions as a result, leading to CEO Don Carty's resignation and marathon negotiations, which ended late Friday with all sides in agreement on a slightly reduced concessions package. American, however, will not disclose just how much Carty's severance will cost.
Today is Workers' Memorial Day, and despite decades of progress, the American workplace remains a dangerous place. 60,000 working Americans lost their lives to on-the-job injuries and illnesses last year, according to the AFL-CIO, and another 6 million were injured as a result of their work.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about what are the benefits and dangers of travel in an age of terrorism, SARS, and threatened ecosystems and cultures. We find all these strange things happening around the world. In Rio, today's New York Times, drug wars begin to take a toll on tourism. They actually have a situation where Sugarloaf, one of the tourist sites famous for its views, Rio de Janeiro, has been threatened by a very specific terrorist group, or it's called the Red Command, and it's actually a narco. You know, I mean, it's a group that traffics in drugs. It's a mafia. I mean, let's just boil it down. It's a mafia, and a Brazilian version of it. And the police delegate in charge of tourist security, Elizabeth Karras, says she was under orders not to talk up to the news media about the situation. So the government of Brazil is a little concerned that the word might get out, but is that really a problem anyway? I would say that walking the streets of some of the biggest cities in America is just as dangerous as walking the streets of what you might call third world countries in the Islamic world, certainly where we have been almost conditioned to fear the idea of Muslims. My experience, similar to Dave, who was our guest in the last hour, was that these people, you know, these people very much welcome us. There's this extraordinary sense of community in many of these countries and these older cultures. It's really a welcoming kind of thing. Well, with regard to travel, we have the founder of Amazon.com, whose database, by the way, seems to be a little corrupted. Speaking as somebody who has a dozen books listed on Amazon, I've noticed one of them has gotten really flaky. I don't know if their database has gotten hacked or if it's just broken. But anyhow, Jeff Bezos, he's created a Seattle-based space research firm called Blue Origin. This is from Reuters. Quote, to pursue his dream of establishing an enduring human presence in space, according to Newsweek. He and a stable of physicists, ex-NASA scientists, veterans of failed space startups, and sci-fi writer Neil Stephenson are working on rocket designs. Amazing stuff. We're going to have another guest in a few minutes. And also, if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Talking about travel here and what's involved in travel. What are the dangers of travel? What are the opportunities? Travel is an extraordinary thing, particularly travel outside the United States. It provides people with an opportunity to understand that there's not just one way of living, there's not just one way of viewing the world, that there is this broad brush painting out there, this mix of perspectives and insights and understandings and cultures that make up the world. We have SARS, Toronto travel reeling from SARS. Here we have USA Today CNN Gallup poll this week that one of seven Americans planning to travel within 6 months said they had changed their minds because of SARS. Are you not traveling because of SARS? Are you concerned about that? Los Angeles-based Crystal Cruises, this from today's USA Today, Los Angeles-based Crystal Cruises has announced it will bar Toronto residents from cruises through May. Whoa. Carnival and Royal Caribbean, on the other hand, said that anybody from Toronto, they're going to take their temperature within 2 weeks of sailing, and those with fevers get turned away at the dock. Tough stuff. The New York Times, interesting article, SARS puts a new face on flying in Asia, and they show a picture of a flight attendant walking down the aisle of an airplane, passing out masks to people, and she's wearing a mask. I flew into Germany, this must be 4 weeks ago now, and as I was going through customs, where they stamp your passport, the passport office there, officer there, I stopped for a second. They had a flyer that they were passing out that was in German that basically said, if you have come from a country that has SARS, please, you know, let us know so that we can, whatever they're going to do, I don't know, quarantine people or whatever. And I was looking at it as he was stamping my passport, and I said, are you getting, you know, have you had any cases of SARS yet? Do you have any concerns about this? And this guy looked at me with a look of just terror, you know, and he said, it's a very dangerous situation. He said, I have to sit here and, you know, all these people walk by me, and they haven't provided me with a mask or anything. He said, I'm very concerned about this. It really put me in touch with how a lot of these frontline folks in the travel industry are confronting this concern. And then, you know, the larger issue, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out last week, is the concern legitimate? Are we more at risk of dying from a normal pneumonia or from being killed in a traffic accident driving to work? What are the real dangers? And back to our question for the hour, what are the benefits and dangers of travel in an age of terrorism, SARS, and threatened ecosystems and cultures? And mostly, what are the benefits? Let's focus on those for a few minutes. I find this fascinating, this topic here. Mark Hinsky is the managing director, spokesperson, and tour leader for the Cultural Restoration Tourism Project, CRTP. And Mark is talking about people taking volunteer vacations. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm pleased to have you on the air here. Tell us about this volunteer vacation program and about the Cultural Restoration Tourism Project.
Well, volunteer vacations is somewhat of a small niche within tourism in general, and I think it mostly came about from people who had done a lot of traveling and taking the snapshots and things like that, and we're coming home feeling a little empty that, you know, they didn't really get to either learn about the country or meet any of the people. So it kind of fills that niche, the people that really are hoping to make a difference when they travel. But it also helps on a different level. Is it redirects tourist dollars in these poor countries into the local economies, because 90% of all money spent on tourism in a conventional manner leaves the country in one way or another. And this way, we're able to redirect money back into the country and actually help the communities that are being visited.
So, Mark Hinsky of the Cultural Restoration Tourism Project, give us an example of one particular trip that somebody could do that accomplishes these positive benefits that you're listing.
Yeah, we have currently a project running in Mongolia. In Mongolia in the 1930s, the Buddhist community was almost completely destroyed by the communist government. And in 1990, when the Soviet Union fell apart, they gained their independence. And a lot of these poor communities have been looking to restore part of their cultural heritage, the Buddhist heritage. And for 4 years now, we've been bringing people out to a remote site in Mongolia, which was one of the largest Buddhist temples at the time, and people get their hands dirty. We've been doing excavations, and we're rebuilding the main temple there for the local community, and the monks have started to return, and the local community come every year for a celebration, and it's gone from 30 people the first year to over 200 last year, and it's really been exciting, not only for the travelers, but for the community.
That's remarkable. It reminds me of the program that Jimmy Carter's involved with. What is that?
The Habitat for Humanity. Yes.
Right. Is that an international program as well?
That is international now. And interestingly enough, just quick anecdotally, we had a participant on one of our projects, and it was the first time he had ever even traveled internationally, and he didn't really... He wasn't that excited about being in Mongolia, but after his stay with us, he decided that this is the way he was going to travel for the rest of his life. And he's done like two habitat trips into South America now, and I know that he's even done a trip into Hawaii where he did a volunteer vacation and was able to enjoy Hawaii.
Oh, that's remarkable. So there's an entire industry, essentially, of travel opportunities where you can do good stuff, you can help local folks, get a sense of flavor of the local community, and yet still have a bit of a tourist experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is
here in the U.S., there's even the added benefit of your travels being a tax write-off because you're doing volunteer work, so a portion of people's trips become a tax write-off. And it's a very small niche right now, but it's growing, and there are a lot of opportunities out there.
What portion of the expenses is tax deductible, and how does that work, Mark Hinsky?
Well, it depends mostly on your personal situation, but you know, if someone flies out to Mongolia just to participate in our program, a large portion is tax deductible. But other people, you know, want to go to Mongolia for a month and they only spend half their time with us, then it's a smaller portion, and it's based on the value you got from our program specifically.
So the percentage of time that you spent with that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, people give us a donation, and basically most of that donation is tax deductible, but other expenses they may incur during other travel isn't a write-off.
And what sort of cultural impact do you think that this kind of travel, these volunteer vacations and ecotourism in general, is having around the world?
Well, personally, I think it's profound, and I think it could be really, really important in the future. I mean, I think one of the issues in today's world is just misunderstanding of cultures. And I was listening to a talk show host here locally, and somebody called him and said, oh, we need more cultural exchange, and it helps people understand. And he completely missed the point, thinking that meant bringing over the Iraqi ballet or something like that. It says, no, it's about people meeting other people, understanding their culture, and then they become humans. And I think that's the biggest impact, is if more people traveled internationally and got involved, they would understand the humanity of the people who are living in these conditions, and they would understand the conditions better, and I think they'd make wiser choices.
Mark Hinsky with Cultural Restoration Tourism Project. You're running a project in Mongolia right now. What are the problems, and you're rebuilding an old temple there, an old Buddhist temple. What are the problems that the people in the community that you're working with are facing in their day-to-day lives?
Well, Mongolia was almost strictly supported by the communist regime in Russia, and when they pulled out, there was nothing there. And no industrial base, no manufacturing base. So instantly there was very high unemployment. The place that we're working in has 70% unemployment. So just our ability to give people jobs is having a big impact. Plus, we give training to people in professions that are going to be two of the leading sectors of the Mongolian economy, one being tourism and the other being construction. So not only are they getting jobs while we're there, the temporary jobs, they're getting training for full-time jobs. And then we're also bringing money into the community just through more tourism and through all of the materials and food and things we buy from the locals. So it has an economic impact, plus it's also a direct impact on certain individuals through jobs and job training.
Mark, I was down in Bogota, Colombia, 12, 15 years ago, and met with some people from one of the indigenous communities out in the hinterlands of Colombia. And this guy's major complaint was that the mining companies and logging companies were coming into these areas and trying to essentially change the culture and the value system of the indigenous people away from their traditional relationships with each other and toward a for-profit driven, you know, let's get stuff, the religion of consumerism model. You know, the people were coming in and offering to, in fact, bringing in, the one example is this one company had brought in satellite dishes and TVs so that the local people could see TV. And he felt that this was destructive to their culture. Do you see that happening in the kind of work that you're doing? Is there a risk for that? And if so, what do you do about it?
Well,
cultural contamination, I guess you'd call
it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there is a risk. And Mongolia, as a specific example, the U.S. ambassador to Mongolia was on the news the other day saying that he was so proud that he brought the first Coca-Cola distributor to Mongolia. Mm-hmm. And I tried to meet with him personally in Mongolia a couple of times, and he wouldn't even talk to me as a U.S. citizen trying to start this nonprofit business in Mongolia. So you can see where at least their priorities are, and that, to me, that is a cultural invasion. I think what people need to do when they're considering taking trips like this is look at the organization specifically that they're going to be with. And our organization, we're very directed towards making sure it's something the community wants. And the community makes the initial contact with us, tells us what they want, why this is important, why it'll help them in the long run and the short run. And then we decide if we should get involved. Other programs, there's some great ones out there, but there's also others that I know that people have gone on that they come back feeling like the same, just what you said. They felt like they were kind of pushing their Western values upon a culture that had no interest in it.
Right.
So that's
right.
Difficult, and I think the individual taking the trip really needs to look at what the, you know, what
this is a real challenge, Mark. Mark, we've got about 20 seconds left. Do you have a website?
Yeah, our website is www.crtp.net, and you can also email us at info@crtp.net.
Great, thank you. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Network. 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be back after this break. Thank you very much, Mark, for being on our show.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills and Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
One thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing.
leads to another, and Monday leads to Tuesday to Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. Tomorrow, we're going to be asking the questions here on the Tom Hartman program. How much damage will the Bush tax cuts do to the economy? In our second hour, we're going to ask the question, how does a democracy manage health care for its citizens? What's the healthiest for democracy way of managing health care? On Wednesday, we're going to look into the question of, has America lost its moral compass? And on Thursday, we're going to be talking back to talk radio. It'll be an interesting segment there. We have Judy from Chicago on the Tom Hartman program. Welcome, Judy.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling.
I read your book, Unequal Powers, and I'd recommend it highly to people.
Unequal Protection. Thank you.
Protection, yes. I was thinking, and you suggested in your book that we add one word in front of the word person, natural person, in the 14th Amendment to bring back our, the Bill of Rights just for people.
Right.
Instead of corporations, actually corporations have more power and don't need the protection of the Bill of Rights. We, the people, need it.
Yes.
But now this new case, this Nike case, and I'm sorry I didn't call earlier, but I'm having trouble getting your program here in the Republican suburbs.
Okay.
Now they're attacking the First Amendment, the free speech thing for corporations.
Yes.
So I think we're just going to need a whole new amendment, separate amendment, saying this Bill of Rights was voted by the whole country, all the states, two-thirds ratification for what it contains, and there was no intentions for it to include corporations but to protect people from situations such as the British when they came in and tyrannized people and had monopolies, et cetera.
Well, that was certainly the intent of the founders.
Complained about the 14th that they were using that. They went to the first.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, it's not just Nike. Nike argued that case before the Supreme Court on Wednesday of last week. We did a show about it on Tuesday. But 3 months ago, Fox News, Fox won a case down in Florida before a federal court in which they had asked a reporter to lie in the news. The reporter refused, got fired, and Fox won and said they were vindicated in that they had the right to lie on the news. So it gets stranger and stranger. Judy, thanks for calling. This has been the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2000.